Scrooge Family Ghost, Chapter 4, Part 2, by Todd Puccio, June 2025 recording. 2 years had passed after Fred refused his uncle's offer to work for him. Fred continued to work hard at his father's warehouse and visited his Uncle Scrooge once a month for his singular type of mentorship. Fred also continued to court Jenny whenever her mother brought her or let her visit into the city. Mr. Markelson was perpetually disgusted with the state of business at Fezziwig and Wilkins. He had never tried to change the name. It was still a known and trusted establishment among many customers, and he once quipped that it would be too expensive to change the sign, stationery, and registry in the books. The thought of Mr. Markelson avoiding this expense always made Fred laugh to himself, for it was the same sentiment his uncle had about his own business's name. Fred once pondered the thought that Markelson and Scrooge might have been good partners, but quickly recanted the thought, knowing with full certainty that Uncle Ebenezer had no other match than Jacob Marley. Markelson would have been quickly devoured by old Scrooge like a bait fish in a pond. That summer afternoon, two gentlemen that Fred recognized from the exchange came to call upon Mr. Markelson and Dick Wilkins. Fred announced, "Mr. Argyle and Mr. Hillary." The two men were impressed that Fred had remembered them and announced them with great poise. Fred listened in on the conversation as Dick made it known that he wanted Fred to stay nearby. They expressed an interest in buying Fezziwig and Wilkins and began the negotiation with a very generous offer. Mr. Markelson expressed an interest in selling his portion, but Dick was skeptical and hesitant. Fred had remembered his uncle's words when Pa Fezziwig sold his portion. And the next time Fred visited his uncle, he asked for Ebenezer's impression of Argyle and Hillary.
"Argyle and Hillary? I suppose you wish to know because they offered to buy the business?" Scrooge asked.
"Uncle Ebenezer, is there anything you are not aware of in this town?"
"Heh, my young man, I am scarcely aware of the latest in fat women's fashion, the latest of novels, and the coming and goings of vicars. But of anything to do with business, no. Business is my business, and so it should be yours as well."
"So, Uncle, do you have an interest in Argyle and Hillary?" Fred asked.
"Yes, they have some accounts here with my firm. Jacob brought them into our little circle several years ago, and it is a good business practice to have many fingers in many pies, Master Fred. This way the firm will not rise and fall at the success of any one business, or even one type of business."
Fred nodded in assent. Then he sat down in the chair next to Scrooge's new clerk and introduced himself. Uncle Scrooge had let himself go without a clerk for more than a year after Marley's death. Then he interviewed many potential clerks. Some of the clerks he hired didn't last more than a month. Occasionally, Fred would meet them at his monthly visits, if they were still employed at that time. This clerk was apparently hired shortly after Fred's last visit, and seemed to have withstood the first month just fine. The pleasant man was named Robert Cratchit, and his smile and little laugh revealed a man with much joy and riches in his heart, despite the obvious vacancy in his pockets. Looking at Robert's thin figure and worn clothes, Fred guessed that his uncle was able to find the employee of his dreams, a man who was bright, competent, and desperate enough to accept whatever wage Ebenezer would offer. Fred and Bob, as he wished to be called, exchanged pleasantries.
"Ah, I see that you have found a kindred spirit between you two. Smiles on your mouths and emptiness in your pockets," sneered Scrooge when he waved Fred back to his desk and returned to the subject at hand. "Argyle and Hillary are shrewd and ruthless. They will buy a business and shut it down, because it is worth more to them that way. Less competition for them in their other businesses. I suspect that it is their plan here. They will make a very generous offer, I suppose.
But, Uncle, the business has been in the family for so long.
Humbug, nephew. Consider the low profits that it makes. Project out for the next several years how much money the owners will make. Compare that with the offer. Then consider what the current owners can do, what the other ventures they could take and make profit on with the funds they will get from selling their shares. Don't let your sentimentality get into the way of a good business decision.
Yes, Uncle, but isn't it possible they've been interfering with our business to keep our profits low?
Ah, my nephew, now you show you have learned something. Yes, indeed, such a thing is quite possible. But with the likes of Argyle and Hillary, you will never prove it. You must either outwit them, outperform them, or surrender to their acumen. Knowing your situation, as I do, I suggest you do the latter.
Uncle, if they buy it, I might be enticed to remain with the firm. But what shall I do if they do as you suspect and close the business down?
You, Master Fred, should take a position that I have had my eye on for you. Today, you and I will go to the exchange and meet your next potential employer.
What business is it, Uncle?
It is in pen and paper and ink. And if you secure yourself in it, I would expect that you provide me and my firm such supplies at cost. Is that understood?
Ha! Another finger, another pie, Uncle?
Indeed, my nephew, indeed.
Uncle Ebenezer and Fred left the office and continued to the exchange to see some men about a new position for Fred. The next few months continued on just as Ebenezer Scrooge had predicted. Fred's father succumbed to the extremely generous offer of Argyle and Hillary. He began to spend most of his days retiring at home and making some small investments with a few transport and shipping firms that he had long-standing relationships with. All of Fred's debts to the firm were cleared, and Fezziwig and Wilkins was dissolved. Now, with a clear book, Fred took to his new position as a salesman and distributor of pen and ink and paper. And indeed, Fred saw to it that all supplies were provided to Uncle Scrooge at cost. One of those days shortly after Fred took his new position, early in December at the breakfast table, Dick reminded his son, "Freddy, when you were a boy, you would come into fits of melancholia. Do you remember that?"
"Yes, Father, I do remember those terrible days. I called the ghastly spirit that plagued me Gubma. Much like the Christmas ghosts that are accompanied by pleasant feelings, that Gubma is accompanied by dread. Gubma would emerge from the drawer of my nightstand and slowly consume the room around me."
"And what about now, my boy? I have not seen you in that humor for quite some time."
"Father, Gubma has shown itself very rarely since I began visiting my Uncle Scrooge. Or was it perhaps since I had those visions of my mother? I am not sure which, but they each happened near the same time."
Dick nodded in acknowledgement, and then raised an eyebrow at the suggestion that these events may be related. Dick continued, "It has been my observation that such feelings are brought upon by regrets and anxiety. I suppose when you pondered upon your lack of a natural mother, it is a kind of regret. Although my mother passed when I was older, I do know that feeling."
"Yes, Father, something like that. What is it to be done about such a feeling?"
"Well, even though our mother's death were not our faults, we can't seem to escape that feeling of regret. I've pondered that regret and anxiety are much the same. The bad feeling we get when we are barred by the veil of time
to be able to control the difficult circumstances our imagination is presenting to us.
Father, are you speaking like Aristotle? Can you speak more plainly?
Oh, my boy, you are an intelligent man. What I am saying is that both regret and worry are about things in our mind that you can do nothing about, because they have either already happened or they have not yet happened.
What do you think we should do with that?
Perhaps that old bald ghost and your grandfather's credo have given us the clue.
Fred thought back in his mind about what his father was referring to, and the thought finally emerged and struck him. He smiled and exclaimed,
"Oh, you mean to cast out our regrets as charity. I suppose the same can be applied to future worry?"
"Quite right, my son, quite right."
Freddy continued,
"I also think having contact with my other natural relations, and for that time feeling my mother's love, has sustained me in a hopeful joy in life."
Dick responded,
"Well, it is good to see that that old liar has been good for something."
"Oh, Father, you are too harsh on your old friend. I don't remember you ever saying something so unkind. He is mostly an honest man."
Dick held his mouth open for a moment and grinned.
"Ebenezer Scrooge, an honorable man? Well, I should say not."
"No, Father, I did not say he was honorable. I said he was mostly honest. There's a distinction. He has taught me how to be truthful and still make a profit. He has also shown me how he can be truthful and still be cruel. He can follow the law to the letter and squeeze every last pence that is coming to him without empathy or remorse."
"My uncle is not a kind or merciful man. He does not have that kind of honor. But I will say without hesitation that when he speaks his word, that it is true and honest. Well, true and honest for him, as far as it goes."
"Freddy, you have often told me of times he was deceptive and played tricks on competitors."
"Well, I suppose for them he considers their business dealings a kind of game or warfare, in which deception and subterfuge is a mutual expectation. But I can say I've never seen him deceptive in that way with a poor or powerless man. With those, he's merely merciless in a worldly and pagan way."
Dick took a moment to consider his son and nodded approvingly at him.
"Then, my dear Fred, I stand corrected and perhaps a bit abashed."
Fred then looked up in the corner of the room at nothing in particular.
"Well, then perhaps once I did see something that makes me wonder."
"What is that, my boy?"
"One day, Uncle Ebenezer allowed me to take a short nap on a cot in his counting house. He must have thought I was sound asleep, for as Mr. Marley went out for a small meal, my uncle took a red ledger from among his small pile that was on Mr. Marley's desk. He opened it and inspected it."
Dick sat down in a chair and bid Fred to continue.
Fred then described how Scrooge inspected the ledger, at some point changed some of the figures. Fred explained that this was easily done because not only were Scrooge and Marley in the habit of answering to each other's names, they were also able to expertly copy each other's handwriting. They did this because they know that some clients prefer dealing with one or the other partner, but they would occasionally need to work on each other's correspondence and ledgers. They knew which clients were partial to Scrooge and which were partial to Marley. Fred explained further that this was always done with complete knowledge and assent of each other. However, this day seemed unusual, because Ebenezer seemed to be changing this ledger in secret. Fred never asked his uncle about this, and he described it to his father as the only time he had ever witnessed any double dealing between those fast friends and partners. And it was the only time he saw his Uncle Scrooge do something that made him question the man's honesty. Dick sat in silence for a while and asked him to describe this red ledger in more detail. He also asked about when this had occurred. After a few minutes, he said to his son,
"Fred, I have long suspected that Mr. Marley and Mr. Markelson had dealings with each other, and I know that Argyle and Hillary were well-known associates with Mr. Marley."
"What are you getting at, Father?"
"That red ledger you speak of sounds very much like the ledgers that Mr. Markelson would use at our warehouse. It would very well be that he would share the contents with Mr. Marley, and in turn, Mr. Marley would tell Argyle and Hillary what he knew about our financial state. They may have been watching us for several years."
"Oh, Father, that is terrible. Do you think Uncle Scrooge knew?"
"Yes, I do. And as you say, there was very little that they did not share with each other. But I can tell you this, the settlement for my portion of the business was much more than would be a low fair rate. It was certainly much more than the likes of Mr. Marley would have advised he be offered. Unless Mr. Marley thought that our business was worth much more than it really was. And Ebenezer continued the ruse after Marley's death."
Fred looked down thoughtfully and said, I guess I was wrong. Uncle Ebenezer isn't a very honest man."
"Fred," his father assured him, "you will find in the judgments about men that they can have both the saint and the rogue about them. In this, I think we may have both been right, and both been wrong in our judgments of your uncle. Judging a man is not so easy a thing, which is why the Lord has commanded against such a thing."
"Father," Freddy's eyes gleamed for a moment, "do you think that Uncle Scrooge modified that ledger and weighted it in your favor, intending to right the wrong of it being shared in the first place?"
Dick did not answer his son's question directly.
"Keep praying for that miracle, Freddy."
Dick rose from his chair and patted his son on the back. "Keep praying, my son. Old Ebenezer may be saved yet."